Hello and good evening. We're back together again. And we are here. Welcome. Okay, so these types of what I call a retreat slash training have rhythms. And there's different kind of like a sine wave rhythm that goes through the training. And it's also the rhythm of a transformational cycle, which would include a cycle of bumping into a wall. Or bumping into resistance, crabbiness, pluckiness. And that actually represents the fact that energies are moving and things are trying to clear, and your consciousness is in process of expanding. That's what happens when you work with living energies. So let's have actually a quicker check-in and see where you are in this in the cycle of the retreat. We've come quite a distance. And a lot has been poured into us and transmitted to us frequency-wise. And I just want to take a read on how much more space you have to receive.
This is Carolyn. First off, gratitude for the circle last night. By the end of it, I was in good shape. And I'm an open vessel right now.
Yay, okay. How about anyone else? Let's just go through it.
Well, this is Cindy, and Sarah, what you described, I'm in that today. Crabby and bumping up against myself and just trying to then get out of my own way.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Michelle. And yesterday I was bumping into stuff. Today I'm on the upward swing, and I would say I have probably 40 to 50% capacity left.
Good. Okay.
Thank you.
My second chakra area is doing much better today. Yeah, it's been a good day. I'm really feeling fatigued now though. So, but other than that, I'm well.
Okay. Let's just roll right through here.
Ken, now I'm not as exhausted and feeling like I was in a strange place for several days. I feel like things have evened out and I'm getting used to this new state of consciousness.
This is Laura
Excellent.
Pratt,
Go ahead.
and I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. And I was good until I wasn't, and now I'm good again.
Okay.
Sarah, this is Lakshmi. I'm feeling like I'm overloaded a little bit. Just like I think there's been so much information, and I can't make out if I have a capacity in terms of like how much, but I think I'm near the full.
Then we're going to make you full to overflowing, Lakshmi.
Okay. I mean, I do want to be here. I want this. I just don't want to hold back the class. So.
No, you won't. But if you can just like not try to process anything, not try to keep up with it, just let it float by.
Okay.
Okay. Because 95% of what happens here is going to roll out over the next couple of months. So whatever you're thinking now is not going to apply 3 weeks from now. So if you can relax with it, that would be great.
Okay, thank
And
you.
okay.
Yes,
Okay.
yes.
Who's next?
It's Renee. I have moved through a very large, crusty chunk, and I'm feeling smooth and really, really relaxed. I feel really good. So I feel like I've got a decent amount of capacity today.
Okay.
Hi, it's Kim. Yeah, I feel like Monday, Tuesday were my hump days, as you sometimes refer them to, that getting over that edge. And it's been consistently getting lighter. And I feel pretty good, content, and ready for more.
Okay.
This is Elena, and a lot cleared overnight. I had a sleepless, completely sleepless night. I feel a sense of fatigue and exhaustion today, and full in a way that others have described. And I also feel a sense of expansion in terms of movement through my daily life has been very clunky today. Like I've been very clumsy.
Do you feel more grounded there, Elena?
Oh boy, yeah. That was a big process that started with the conversation last night. So thank you.
Yeah, I really see a big difference. Doesn't mean you have to stay there or stay in the city, but you got your whole self there enough that you could figure out what to do next.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, and who's left?
It's Fran. Yesterday was definitely a tough day for me, and with a restorative sleep, I am in a much better place today, where it feels like I am able to integrate what we are receiving and learning more into my daily life.
Okay.
It's me, Trish. Yesterday, I blocked a lot of stuff, or last night, and I haven't really been able to ground really big since. Partially because there's a part of me that didn't want that to wake up. I was like, wait, I'm not ready to deal with this now. But we have to. So I can't say I really dealt with it. And then I tried to run around and get my mind off of it. That didn't work. So I'm just here now. I'm trying my best to ground and just allow for whatever transpires.
What was it that you didn't want to deal with? If you
The whole
could.
secrecy abuse thing.
Ah, okay.
That
Yeah.
was hiding somewhere.
Yeah.
As many times as I deal with it, there's always something residual left behind somehow, some way.
It's pretty prevalent and really impacts, yeah, it just is a substrata of everything. So, well, thank you for allowing another layer to free up. We didn't address it directly, but so directly. But that is something. If I can make a note here, when I work with someone individually and I'm just getting it's my first session with them. And one of the things that I want to know, and I'll ask somewhere in maybe the first 15 minutes of the session, is whether they have been, whether they've experienced sexual abuse or violence. Because it really makes a big difference in how the session's going to go. To guide someone to their tailbone, if they have all this residual trauma sitting there from sexual abuse, is such a delicate process. And that's all I'll say about that now. But remember, we talked about, like just how much trauma people have and carry into a circle. And it's important to really be aware of this. And we'll go into this deeper as we work with the process of a sacred circle ceremony. But it's really a crucial piece of information when I'm working with someone individually, and I'm very aware of it when I'm working with a group. And the prevalence of sexual abuse and physical abuse is so widespread in our culture. However, we portray other cultures as being violent barely comes close or is at least equal to the violence that we have in our culture that is swept under the rug. So, this is a big deal when you're dealing with individual clients or with guiding a sacred circle. Does anyone have anything they'd like to say about that? And then I know Tiffany, we still have you and Lisa. Who else? I think that's it for you guys to check in. But does anyone have anything to say about that right now in terms of the what I just mentioned in terms of the sexual abuse and violence, physical abuse? Renee, in your practice, what would you say the percentage of your clients have been sexually or physically abused?
If we consider inappropriate behavior by someone they trust that can be sexual, I would say 85%.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's just as invasive and violating.
Yes, and it's held from my experience, but I mean, I'm sure you might know more. It's still held in the same areas of the body.
Now, I know you know a lot about this. So, point made. Okay. Okay. We've got Tiffany and Lisa, I think.
Hi, Sarah. It's Lisa. I think it's been a combination of sacredness, and I really like the word crusty. It's a really good word. It was really half and half, but there was a very sacred part of today as well. A lot of old relationship patterns I'm getting caught into today. They came to the forefront and really were quite strong. And as far as abuse, I think it touches me very deeply, though I'm not aware of any actual physical in this lifetime. It resonates for sure. Our conversations this past week have stirred in me very deeply. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Tiffany?
I'd say I'm definitely smoother and less tired and easier than yesterday, and kind of would say I'm middle of the road today. Things are kind of seem to come in little waves, but they're small and dissipate. As far as it kind of just feels like a processing.
Good. So I just want to acknowledge, the cycles we go through in a training like this and working with living energies so that you have a context to evaluate where you might be in your process. And so you can help other people when they're going through their processes. It's important to have honesty with yourself and acknowledge where you are in the process, and also have compassion and patience for yourself. This is really what spiritual maturity is about, because we never really get to being perfect. But we can become very mature in how we handle ourselves and how we regulate ourselves and how compassionate we can be with ourselves. Just letting that land. So, if we replace the word facilitator with a spiritually mature person, how does that feel? Just let that sit. So instead of thinking of becoming a facilitator, you think about becoming more spiritually mature. How's that landing?
Makes my heart sing.
The base of my body responded to that in a really positive way, like an opening and an uplifting of energy. It like refreshing energy. And I love it. It's so fitting.
Yeah, it's spreading nicely around the circle. Makes me feel safer.
I feel more of an expansion, like it's everywhere, all of me, all the time, versus a moment in time.
Nice.
It felt like some restriction just dropped away when you said that. And it just reminded me, like, I've always wanted to be that. And I think the term facilitator, I didn't even realize how much I had thought it was, it feels more like still an old paradigm to her. But this was very freeing. Thank you.
Yes, you can feel how much weight you put into that being judged and assessed as a facilitator.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really hard. I really struggled with the wording for this, and I still haven't landed with the correct words, guide, facilitator. They're all old paradigm words, so I welcome words that come up for people to throw them onto the page. Oh, and by the way, Laura, I put the other ethics article up on this class page under the other ethics article, so it's in the same drop-down menu. Thank you for that suggestion. Okay. So we'll settle in. Oh, I have to share this with you. So last night when we were signing off from the class, 1 minute before we completed the ending, Ken let out this huge scream in the other room. And so like threw me for a moment, and then I completed it, the ending of the class, a little bit off because he really yelped. And so when I got off Zoom and went in the other room, we had a visitation from a bat. And in the room that Ken was in. And we've had bats in our house before. And so, yeah. And we've done complete remediation and all this kind of stuff, but they occasionally find their way back in. And we live out in the country in the woods, so they're available to visit. And Ken, you want to maybe take it from here a little bit? What you might want to say about it?
I don't know where you go with this.
What? I couldn't
I don't
hear.
know where you want me to go with this.
Oh, what your experience was.
Well, I was surprised. We've had it before. I mean, actually, I was thinking about this. Hydrophobia, rabies used to be, when I was a little kid, that was such a fear in me. And I think that's why I'm terrified of bats, other than probably everybody's terrified. This time I actually settled in and tried to communicate with it and tried to help it out of the house. And other than my initial squeal or whatever I did, I was okay with having the bat there. And I was calm about it. But it was strange how the timing was so exact after finishing the session.
Yeah, he sat out there for an hour just watching the bat, being with the bat. And yeah, the spiritual meaning of bats, I mean, they're really benevolent spiritual beings, and they signify the end of a cycle, the beginning of a new one, and the release of secrets and the opening of what's been hidden. And yeah. And so they really are a very strong spiritual signal. And very appropriate for what we were discussing last night and what each of you are going through. So if my voice sounded a little shaky at the very, very end there, that's because there was that little shock that came through here. Anyone have anything they'd like to say about bats? Elena, was that in your studies, your ornithology studies? Were bats in there?
No, not as much with bats. I was curious though about the egret and cranes that have been sent out with our emails. So if that is something you feel called to speak about, I'm open.
Okay, good. I will. Someone else was going to say something about the bat. Who was coming on?
Oh, it was me. But I love bats. I feel like they're a beautiful symbol. And like Ken, like when I was little, we were told, like, if you get bit by a bat, you're going to get 26 shots in your abdomen, and you know, you'll be right. Lucky if you make it out alive. there's very good reason for people to have been afraid of them, but I think they're beautiful survivors and thrivers in the community.
Yeah.
I'll send all the bats that come in here your way, Russell.
Yeah, okay, man.
Yeah. So,
this is Elena again, and I will just add the piece around the echolocation and their blindness. I have felt a resonance around that space of trying to sense without seeing.
Okay, so the bird, did some of you see the animation? Did you see the animation, Elena, that I put up today of the egret?
No, I haven't found that yet.
Yeah, it's on the page from yesterday. But my happy place when I'm have a few minutes is to create this art. But when we were in Mexico last time, And we spend all of our time down by the water on the beach. And let's see, did I mention that we rescued a seagull this time?
Yes, you told
I
us
did.
that
Okay,
story in a Monday night class, yeah.
okay. So the other thing that happened was this egret was literally I claim these two beach chairs when we're down there, and I like this one spot. It's just the perfect spot for me, and so I am down on the beach at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm the only one on the beach. And every morning, this egret was at my chair. Every morning. And Ken has video of me and the egret walking down the beach together. And I probably have at least 600 pictures of the egret that I took with my iPhone. But he became a relation there. And there's something about us being in Mexico and birds, and definitely Ken for rescuing birds. And but this egret was with me every single day, every morning. I came down on the beach and stayed with us, stayed with me. Ken never came down that early, but stayed with me probably for an hour and an hour and a half. And that was my morning meditation. Every morning was being with this egret. So I love creating the images with it. What do you know about egrets, Elena? Anything?
Honestly, not very much in terms of their biology. I feel a deep connection spiritually to them. Yeah, I was curious. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a very special relationship for me down there. Okay. So we have the bat. As our spirit animal, we have the egret. And I also put up a picture with a cougar.
Now that's what I was curious about. I've never seen you do a picture like that
Yeah, I have some really powerful ones that I created
one
with
before.
that. How did it hit you?
Oh, it's exciting. I mean, I love egrets too, so I've been enjoying all the egret ones, and I did see the video, but I wasn't expecting that. I don't know. It just seemed very different for some reason.
It's powerful.
Yeah,
It's
very
it,
powerful.
it right. And I have several other ones that I'll put up that are in that vein. Because what we are dealing with very powerful energies right now, and they're not just kind of like the light spiritual images that are coming through. They're really strong power images. Now, the cougar, and several of you were on these retreats that we had in Mexico at Ixpuha, at the animal preserve and the other place. But we had cougar visit us, not the physical cougar, but the almost physical. It was so strong energetically that would visit our circle. Literally walk around the circle in its energy form so palpably. And so that's always been another spirit relationship for me. And I've been feeling it very strongly with this group. brings through this enormous power, again, strength and clarity and soberness and sensitivity to stealth and to the subtle senses that we're developing here.
Sarah, I have a deep relationship with cougars, and when I'm in this training, I have a cougar being embraced by a woman that I meditate on. I have a lot of experience with that.
Ah, beautiful. Cougars have a lot, and so do the egrets or the crane family. A lot of energy that opens doorways, powerful doorways that are often some ascendant and some very shocking, like the kind that are so different from our reality that it's a shock to our system. And we are heading in that direction. So we're spanning, you know, information, skill building with the sacred aspects of facilitating a ceremony. You need all of it. So, for instance, how much time did you spend preparing for class tonight? And maybe a few of you would be willing to share that. Just pop it into the circle.
I spent about 20 minutes doing my singing bowl, different things like that.
I try to sit 30 minutes before, but my mind only settles about 15, 10, or 10 minutes before class.
Ah, that's good, though. Say it can take that long. Okay. Mm-hmm. How about anyone else?
Sarah, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I'm on a different headset. Every night I've taken about 45 minutes to 30 minutes to ground today. It was a very different day. Yes, it was a very different day, and I was not home for most of the day because of the different day. And I sat 20 minutes before I finally got everything together to sit, and I probably, like Lakshmi said, it was probably only 10 minutes that I really, really felt like I was bringing my energy back tonight.
Huh.
Yes. Thank you.
Like 10 minutes before the class started?
Absolutely, yeah. It was a tight, tight experience today.
Mm-hmm. I did 10 minutes before class too, because weeknights when I have dinner with the kids, it's kind of a rush. But honestly, you know, I feel like I spent a lot of the day preparing this morning. You know, I woke up and listened to one of the recordings from earlier, and then I spend time settling in before I make a post on the page. And every time I sit and intentionally ground, I think I have the circle and that intention in mind. So I feel like it's more than just when I sit down before class starts.
Wonderful. So go ahead. Go ahead, Fran.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I resonated with Russell's comment because I would say that I had less than 15 minutes of really focused sitting, in part because I misplaced my phone 15 to 20 minutes before class and had a little moment of panic. When luckily, the ringer was on and Luke could find it for me. But my entire, when we have these sessions, I feel like my entire day I'm asking myself, how does this fit within that? How will that influence where I am? Should I really go out to the store to get groceries, or does that really not necessary and not going to be, it's going to be really detracting from the energy that I bring to this circle? So I think that's a really, to me, that feels like an important way for me to be.
Mm-hmm. This is all very, very positive, because it showing me how the continuity of the awareness is starting to build in everyone here, which is really a significant skill. So if you're going to lead or guide a sacred circle, would you be willing to spend half hour to an hour preparing? You know, just energetically.
I would feel as if that would be a requirement for myself, personally.
Yeah, absolutely. For me as well.
Ditto for Fran.
Okay, so this is getting across. Other people have a sense of that?
This is Elena.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyone have resistance to that idea?
I'm curious, in addition to a morning sit, which is 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and grounding throughout the day and before a group, there would be an additional hour. Is that what you're suggesting?
A half hour to an hour if it
okay.
To make sure that you're in the optimal space.
Yeah. Half an hour seems very reasonable. An hour seems like that in addition to life would be an interesting balance.
It's how we think about it. Rather than responding to spirit. And that is always the tension. The tension between our 3D life and all of its conditioning and expectations and stresses, and aligning with spirit, which can have a very different timing and quality. And who are you? Where are you attuned to as you're about to enter into facilitating a ceremony? what's coming up.
I experienced a shift in preparing for class this evening. And in terms of there is normally a lot of resistance I experience leading up to like our Monday night circles. And today I actually sat down about an hour before and read through that overview of skills that you sent out, which is just so beautiful. And as we're discussing this concept of time, I'm struggling to kind of bring that in because my feeling is just that the depth you need to reach to be able to be in that space of facilitating requires a lot of space and time to arrive in that place.
So we've mentioned how the sacred circle is a collaborative experience. How we're in collaboration with many non-physical intelligences, non-physical beings. And that there's a certain attunement to a purer stream of energy where you're detached from all the conditioning and you're in relationship to all the helping spirits and luminous beings that come together to create the transformative ceremony. It's very easy to forget that. And it's easy because of the strong conditioning, not because your heart doesn't want to remember. But if those beings are gathering and calling you into relationship, how can you finesse that with being a busy parent, feeding your children, coming home from work or going to work or whatever you need to do during a day. It's quite a acrobatic experience in maintaining this background awareness and still being able to function like a quote normal person and be able to always have an ear open for the whisper. So this ceremony that we are learning about is a relational experience and collaborative. It's not your ceremony. It's not my ceremony. And it's more than what I would call channeling, where, and I would define channeling as being open to a stream of wisdom or information that's coming from a higher or non-human plane. But it doesn't necessarily include embodying that information, participating in the information. It means to me just being a receptacle and not necessarily a collaborative engagement. So yes, all the remembering and connecting you do during a day and when you wake up in the morning, all of that contributes to building this relationship. And then there's a point before you enter into facilitating something where you align with that, with those relationships, the ones that provide the highest inspiration, the deepest truth, the deepest wisdom that's beyond the conditioning and reflexive mind, body. Expression. What does that collaborative relationship call forth from you? What does participating in it feel like? And what happens when it comes up against all the structures in your life? And it's not a rigid response every single time. Like I said, it's finessing this relationship with your life. So don't overlay a sense of having to do something perfectly here. So right now, our relationships are gathering, our relations. And part of this training is about discovering those relations. And they're different for each one of you. I would say that this training can give you a reference point for a very, really refined, beautiful collaborative relationship would feel like. So you have a reference point, possibly. But each one of you develops a relationship with the non-biological, energetic, subtle world that is like a circle that helps create a transformational circle. And I find there are moments and times when I have to make a conscious decision about where I'm going to focus on my relationships. And sometimes it makes my daily life awkward, doesn't quite fit in. But there was a moment during my life when I made the decision that that was going to be my primary relationship, was to this spiritual family that was supporting this higher knowledge, higher wisdom, and transformational activity. And I share that with you not to impose it on you, but I think you need a reference point. Again, a sober reference point for the type of commitment you may be growing into. What's happening for you?
I remember on the retreat, at one point you had mentioned how your spiritual life or your journey, or I'm not sure the exact words you used, your spiritual life or path, came before even your daughters. And that hit me really. And I think it wasn't at that moment, but not long after I contemplated that. I wasn't sure I was ready to put that ahead of my kids, but I definitely put it equal.
Yeah, it's inclusive of the people you love.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
Right,
that was my justification.
right,
I wasn't
right.
willing to be as bold as saying, but yeah, no, it's absolutely. I know it's what I've been called to do, and I'm excited for it. And as you told your story, it made me re reflect on my time at the university. And even though I taught one class for close to 20 years, even before the class period started, I would go through and prepare for at least 30 minutes, if not longer. And my colleagues would say, "What are you doing? You've been doing this for 20 years." And every time I did it, I wanted to make sure that and I realized as you were speaking that the classroom was my sacred space. And when I walked into that room full of students, I wanted to make sure that I was present, and I was going to give it my all to help with their academic growth. So that really resonated with me.
So I'm going to invite you to hear what I said beyond your conditioned mind. Because it can sound one way through the conditioned mind and one way through the heart. Who can sense the difference?
This is Laura. And when you spoke about the connection to the relationship as being so vital, there was just a tremendous release in my body. Just dropped from the center down all the way into the earth.
So funny, the luminous beings that are here are saying, so offer them this. Say, at least go 50-50. It's really funny. 50% attention on your earth relationships and 50% attention to your non-earth relationships. And of course, that's a sliding continuum, but so funny to hear that. That made it, maybe it made it more palatable and out of the either or kind of mindset. Because it all really enfolds within each other.
Yeah, I'm seeing more and more of what I'm doing, not making the distinction between what's spiritual and what isn't, or what's earth and what isn't. I'm feeling like everything's earth and everything's spiritual. Just remembering that as they move through a day.
How nice. So it brings to the foreground this idea of cultivating these relationships with the unseen world and the unseen beings. So the week before the training started, at least a week, I invited you to do the practice of greeting the elements daily. And how did that cultivate a relationship for you?
I still find that a growth edge for me, and trying to balance the striving for versus allowing it or inviting it or it being brought to me.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful practice. That's what the practice is. What is your relationship with the elements now?
Are you asking me?
Oh, no, anyone.
Okay.
Unless you want to answer too, Carolyn.
For me, it transformed from sort of a visual human mind, sort of like water being a wave or a river, to feeling the vibration and the pure frequency. So that was really exciting to make that transition.
Have they become your friends, your relations?
Yeah, I feel very connected. And in fact, I didn't write about this, but the last couple days when I've been going into my own ceremony, as soon as I connect with them, I don't even really want to use the word greet anymore, but as soon as I connect, it drops me into a very deep and powerful place.
So I would call that cultivating the relationship.
Yeah, I didn't think of it in that terms, but that's exactly what it is.
I see them as allies now, even more so than I did before.
I know that was huge. Oh, go ahead.
I've also stopped saying I greet this and that. I just say hi.
So in ceremonial work, the power comes from this collaboration and from the relationships with the unseen world. And in the unseen world, everything is seen. We can't see into the unseen world necessarily, but the unseen world can see us in the 3D world very clearly. Just letting that sink in. And maybe that changes a polarity for you. So cougar can notice any lack of integrity or inauthenticity. So the unseen world, which includes those who have passed over from this physical world, beings that have never been biological, beings from other dimensions, and all of them may be us in different frequency bandwidths, but there's still a relationship to us. And so for the teaching for tonight is opening up and letting in this approach that is relational and guided by these relationships and participating with them in a grounded way. And there's always a point in a ceremony or working with someone in healing where the higher wisdom, the higher power takes over, and we stand back. Our job was to prepare. To create a space where a greater power, a greater wisdom can create the transformation.